Welcome back to our show. This is Jerry Pippin. The name of the book is The Divine Principle. And Keith Blanchard is on the line from Memphis. You're listening to his group. It's from a CD titled Time for a Change. Keith, welcome back to the show. You're kind of an enigma to me. You were born in Houma, Louisiana, so I take it that you probably were reared Catholic. Reared a Catholic? Is that right?
I was raised Catholic.
Yeah.
Do you still embrace a religion? Or?
I don't, per se, in following the Catholic view, but I think the ceremony is ritualistic of Catholicism is probably one of the most beautiful out there. The standing, the kneeling, it's a very participatory experience. I'm no longer Catholic. I embrace all religions. I consider myself every religion or none of them. And the reason for this view is I accept truth in any form it may show up. So I don't want to limit myself to something that could be under my nose, but yet I turn my nose up to it and therefore miss something that can be magnanimous for me. You know, if you told me you experienced God under a rock yesterday, well, you can bet I'm going to go run and look, not out of disbelief, but it's because I want that very thing for myself. So I don't limit myself to where truth may surface.
Now, you were, I believe, middle age, or in the 30s anyway, when you really got involved with this stuff, or were you involved in the 20s as well? It seems to me, from looking at your bio and talking to you, you probably were the traditional musician at first.
I was the traditional musician in my 20s. I was slowly moving out of one experience into another, and that experience I was moving out of was, that was a learning experience for me. And slowly into my 30s, it was tapering off into the prepare yourself, keep putting your seatbelt, because your life is about to change. And that's when I went through the hardship. But throughout my entire life, I had higher level experiences. I mean, I used to have angelic experiences and sleep states of consciousness. But now, it doesn't require me to be asleep to see energy or spiritual energies or extraterrestrials, if you will. It's more of a...
What are these? I've never seen one. What do these angels do? I mean, why are they there?
For me or...
Yeah, for everybody.
For everybody. Well, they're there as guides. They're very active. They're definitely not passive. They are God's thoughts, if you will. They act solely by promptings of the Creator, by the universe. That's the whole purpose of angels. That's what they do. But
now, how do they become angels?
They always have. The phylum never changes. Angels are always angels.
They were created as angels.
They were created for them.
They never die.
No, they're eternal.
All right, do angels have sex? I don't mean physically. I mean, are they male and female?
I think they're all true. I think, for the most part, angels are androgynous. But angels do take physical form. You've heard the stories where someone is...
Sure, there's a show on television that shows angels in different human form. And then there's angels in drawings with the wings. And there's angels with halos. So, I mean...
They can take any form.
What kind of form are your angels?
Well, sometimes they take the form of humans. Sometimes they take the form of...
When they speak to you, do they have a voice?
Yes. I've recently had an experience, when I say recently, a couple of years ago, I was in a bookstore. And I was interested in reading the Hindu Bible, if you will, the Bhagavad Gita. And I was sharing it with someone that it really takes a strong mind to read this book. And this lady sitting on a stool looks at me and says, "Or a strong heart." And it hit me in such a way, I looked away from this person, and when I looked back, they were gone. And I wanted to talk to this person and couldn't find her. And I asked quite a few people who were in the aisle with me reading books off the shelves, and they never saw such a person.
So you had to admit that you were living, I guess, a life in your 20s that you needed to change. It's chaos, probably, in your mind.
Yes.
Am I putting things in...
I was a musician.
Yeah, well, that's the reason I say that. Hey, I was a stand-up comic and an entertainer, so understand. Basically, what I'm asking here is, you're 40 now. When you're my age, a couple of decades from now, how do you think you're going to be evolving?
I hope that I can take what I do and what I know now to a level of true peace. I'm a peace seeker. It's what I want, and I, in turn, because of my friend who helped me when I was in a serious way. Now I feel I'm obligated. I feel it's my duty. I feel it's the reason I was born to have this hardship show up, because I was not paying attention to the signs that was saying, Keith, this, there's an easier way for you to make a spiritual transition. But because I was so wrapped up in the music life, living the life of a musician, living on the road, doing the things that, you know, musicians do, drink, smoke, whatever it is that we indulge in. And I took the hard way out. And so I had a lump knock me on the head. And, because of this person who stepped in, it's now my passion, my want, my life to in turn give this gift to people of self-empowerment and show them that not only is there a universe that we see when we look up to the heavens, but when we look inside of ourselves, there is a greater universe, a calmer universe. In fact, the Creator, God as we know it, is inside of us. So infinity lives within, so that we are absolute infinite potential just waiting to be harnessed to create whatever world we choose. And that's my path, is to help empower people so we can take control and take an active posture to make this world become heaven on earth as we know from Scripture.
Somebody told me, one of my producers, that you recorded your first conversation with God. Is that right?
That's correct.
How did that work?
I'm processing. How did it work? I and my mouth began to move because I was instructed to stand out of the way. Keith, let your ego get out of the way and your mouth will begin to speak. And I didn't like go into a trance, or nor was I removed from my body. I was actually able to hear myself. And my mouth began to speak beyond my own will. And the information that would come out was about love, about universal.
Was it your voice?
It was my voice. It was my voice.
Was it under stress or mechanical?
No, it was free-flowing. It felt like my mouth was on automatic pilot. And the energy that would come into my body as I would speak was so overwhelming, I would go into these crying spells for 30 seconds to 45 seconds, sometimes to a minute, 15 seconds, because the energy is just so high. My body was not used to processing such energy that crying, as I was told by the higher consciousness, if you will, was a way of burning the energy off because it was accumulating and it was getting too heavy. So crying was just a process.
The reason I ask you this, it sounds very much like a thing we run in ufology, channeling. Are you familiar with channeling?
Yeah. Some people would call it channeling, absolutely.
Yeah.
And the reason I choose to stay away from the word channeling is because it is the most accurate word, but there's a large stigma on the word channel that people in the past who have brought in other entities, if you will, to bring them through and have them speak, they were led down a path of self-destruction, and so there's a...
Where do you think, I agree with you, and I just wonder where do you think that comes from? Is there a negative force out there too?
Yes and no. I think there is a negative force. I think we live in this world of duality, and so we are bombarded by both energies, but positivity and negativity is really just a perception, because, you know, what is truly right and what is truly wrong? There are 6 billion people on the planet, so who holds the absolute rightness or wrongness of the world? So what is right for you or wrong for you may not be what everyone else...
How do you explain this to fundamentalists? You know, I'm not necessarily even talking about Christian fundamentalists, any religion of fundamentalism, where they believe this is it, blah, 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 blah. And it seems to me you're saying it's more of a shade, a tone, a growing force.
Yeah, and how
reaching out?
How can you explain that to fundamentalists? And they will only see or hear it if they're willing, because you know, for some people, those who believe there's no explanation necessary for those who don't. No explanation will do.
Well, basically, what I'm getting at is, this conversation has been heavily layered and structured towards spirituality and religion. And are there rules?
No, there aren't any rules. But if we want to stay on track to where we don't break any rules, if you will, we just need to remember the law of karma, the reap and sow law.
I do embrace that.
And that keeps us on track. So as long as we don't impinge upon someone else's free will,
the golden rule seems to me to have slipped by the wayside with the super churches.
Yeah.
And it seems to me that's really the key to all religion and all spirituality is treat people as you'd like to be treated yourself, an unrequited love.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem that mankind's headed that way. It seems like you're on the wrong side.
And again, right and wrong is truly a perspective.
Well, I can say that because I'm on that side too.
Being on the wrong side. And there's actually the movement of spirituality, be it in Christianity or whatever faith
yes.
a person walks, the number is growing, and the more it grows, it's going to exponentiate, and then everybody's going to be on the wrong side. And so then the right side will be the wrong side.
It's a good point. Everything's relative. We do a UFO show, we do paranormal shows, so we only got about 4 or 5 minutes left. I want to cover some subjects with you hard and fast. I'm a nuts and bolts guy. I'd like to meet an ET. I'd like to knock on the door and interview him. Are there such things? I mean, are they real, or are they other dimensional, or what are they? Are they from other planets,
so
or what?
They're so real, not only have I experienced them as do. In sleep states of consciousness. I had the opportunity to meet one physically as a human being.
Oh, how did that work?
In a human body. I was teaching a class. After the class, someone asked me, do you want to meet an alien? And I thought they were just being funny. And they were being funny, but they were serious. And this person introduced me to Nucleus 8. And there's information about Nucleus on my website. There's a link there called Stargate. Go to it and you'll see it. But keep in mind, the energy, the entity was a male. And the person was female, and I played the game with myself, is this real or not? Well, over time, as I befriended this person began to do some pretty phenomenal things in front of me, literally, while I'm awake, yank me out of my body, show me his starship, show me where in the galaxy this ship is located, showed me the technologies that ran this ship. And
okay, where was he from?
This person is from a space station about 27,000 light years away from here. This person is a galactic police. His job is literally to roam around the galaxy policing it.
And how does he enforce the law?
In whatever way necessary. Some of it is basically as we would...
So that it all, by our relative human experience as a humanist... he might be doing things that I wouldn't really agree with. I mean, he might be killing people.
And believe it or not, on higher levels of reality, and this is from my experience of the knowledge that he has imparted to me, and my understanding of spirituality and how energies work on a higher level, that is probably true. That some civilizations, now when we say people, we consider it to be like us.
Well, I always think of all of these entities as people, and I get called on the carpet a lot about that.
Yeah.
And I just think that they may be reptilian or they may be whatever.
But absolutely. And some of these energies or entities, if you will, people, if you will, no longer serve a universal purpose. And it may be that their karma involved that this policing would take them out, be it in a self-defense situation, or be it that this planet is no longer viable to this particular galaxy.
So this entity was traveling the galaxy, enforcing the good.
Enforcing the law. The law which means that which will hold
but who set up
the universe
law?
For eternity.
Who set up that law? Was it a natural law?
Natural law, and they follow the hierarchy, which says that this is what will keep the universe sustaining for eternity, and that law is enforced.
Okay, let's talk about ghosts.
Let's do. Another one of my favorites.
You've seen any ghosts, or are they ghosts, or are they real?
I've experienced them nightly in my sleep as well. And when I say I experience these things nightly, these are not dreams, mind you. I am just as conscious in this reality then as I am now talking to you on the phone. I have a second life, and my second life is truly removing ghosts from people's homes, but also helping these entities cross over into the light.
Are they trapped?
Some I'm just not aware how that they've died, because their death experience was sudden, and they're just sleeping. I had a recent experience that this lady was in a home, and I was asked to remove her. And when I asked her to reveal herself, and as she did, she was physically beautiful. And I was stunned at her beauty, and I said, gosh, you're just such a beautiful lady. And she never seen herself that way. And saying what I said, it woke her up, and she became self-aware. And in so doing, the portal opened up, the light at the end of the tunnel was there, and she started moving into the tunnel, and she grabbed me and started pulling me into the tunnel of light with her. And I was somewhat, you know, worried about letting her do this. And I let myself move into this light, if you will, as long as I felt that it was good for me to sustain my physical body that was laying on a bed.
Now, where did she go?
After she went into...
Yeah, I mean, when you go through this tunnel of light, you get on the other side. Is it a park? Is it what?
Well, there's likely a lobby orientation, if you will. You wait in line. It's your turn. You go up. You have a life overview. You see the things you've done, and you move on to your next experience. Now, that next experience may seem higher or lower, but it's all higher because every experience is designed to move upward towards a higher level of consciousness. Doesn't necessarily mean...
Anybody ever get there? To the highest level?
Absolutely. This is the whole reason we're here. The reason we left the Godhead in the first place is to forget, just to go through the process of remembering all over again. Why? Because it's fun. I mean, we've been eternal for so long, we get bored with this experience. So we come down here, if you will, to raise a little hell, just so we can go through the process of reuniting ourselves with heaven.
So heaven, we say up there, but it's probably another place, another dimension?
Yeah, it's not really up there. That's just a metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
But heaven is really a state of being. It's a state of consciousness.
How about hell?
Same thing.
There is a hell as far as you're concerned.
There is a hell for those who believe in it, but there is the lower astral plane, which is probably that in scripture refers to. It's a place of a lower energy for those who believe in hell, those who believe in a devil or demons, those who believe in guilt and that punishment is due for the actions they have done in life. It is true, but it's not necessarily truth.
Well, it kind of explains, I've always felt that if God is good, then how could there be a hell?
And those people who end up in such a place are there only by, one, it could be there because of they need to experience this reality.
I mean, I've known some pretty tacky people in my life. I've done a lot of investigative reports and lots of things. And I mean, we're talking just about as bad as you can get. And if anybody deserves to go to hell, I guess these people do. But I just really have trouble accepting that it's like Dante's Inferno.
Yeah. I do as well. It doesn't work for me. It's a fiction. For example, you take a fundamentalist, anyone from any background who believes in a hell, and that if you truly do something bad, you will end up in this place. Let's say they die and they cross over into their spirit form, and this tunnel becomes present, and they see this light. Well, the last thing this person wants to do now is run towards a god who will throw them in a pit of fire. So they fall in this spiritual fetal position, if you will. And because there's no physicality there, they create spontaneously. And now they're creating a self-induced hell. myself or for anyone who is spiritually endowed crosses over to the other side. They see this light. The one thing they've been pursuing their whole lifetime, they will literally run to. So hell for this person doesn't exist. So when I cross over, I'm going to run to that which those may run away from.
Yeah, that's probably a good way to lead the show. The name of the book is the DivinePrinciple.com. Is a website for it, for the name of the book, The Divine Principle. We have a link to that, and we have some of your music we've linked to, and put some in the show here as well. You have any trouble playing bars anymore?
No, I don't. It gives me the opportunity to see people for who they are, even in their humanness, even in their drama, and it reflects to me my own, and it helps me soften my heart and just to be with people, because that's what I love, is people.
Good way to end the show, Keith. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for your time, and I'd love to do it again. Anytime you're ready, just let me know.
Okay, when's the next book going to come out?
Hopefully shortly. There are two companions to follow, which are thoughts for the day kind of book. Spiritual vitamins, open up and get your thoughts for the day. But I have a book about my journey to India coming out probably in the next year. And there will probably be endless books. It's what I do. I'm
a musician to writer. I understand. I was never a musician, but enjoyed entertaining, and I guess I still do that in a certain way. Thanks a lot, Keith. I know it's distributed by Ingram, so they can get it at any bookstore, probably.
Any bookstore.
Yeah. Okay, thanks a lot.
Worried there'll come a time when my world is dry. Oh, so dry in the summertime.
Our production editor was Jim Smith. Good night.
I'm learning that this is happening worldwide. What's going on here? What is this?
In March of 1997, a huge triangular ship appeared over Phoenix. Thousands saw it, and even now, years later, Phoenix is a place of UFO intrigue, sightings, experiences.
Eyewitnesses who saw it say it's like nothing they've ever seen before.
Hear about it on The Jerry Pippin Show.